Today is Tuesday. No, it's Wednesday, August 22nd, 2018. And I don't know days very well.
What news we got today?
I don't remember the categories.
Oh, we've got some business news, we've got some robot news, and we've got some social media news.
So that's three, count them, three categories today.
Three hot categories.
The business news, hot I think, takes. I feel like some of the people in the comments are like, can you guys translate the tech business news into what stocks I should buy and sell? And it's like, no.
Though we have some stock prices later, which will be pretty funny.
Well, starting off, got to start off with Tesla. Oh, I love it.
That subpoena. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. Now, these are the business aspects.
Yeah, we did talk about the subpoena. So the problem with Tesla, here's the issue. When Musk said funding secured, that is a very matter-of-fact statement. It means something very specific. You're not allowed to say that unless it's actually true. It might not have been true.
Well, the tweet actually said thinking of taking Tesla private, funding secured.
Funding secured is the important part, though.
Yeah.
Like, is it? I mean,
yes, absolutely. Okay. Because that means something in the market world. That means you have gotten a letter of credit or something like that, and someone has said, yes, we're going to do this. Now, I had been in talks with the Saudis, but they hadn't actually said yes. And the New York Times, all this turmoil started happening, and there was a lot of speculation. There are some stories that I did not include that were just craziness. There's the VIN number story. Some guy tweeted out a bunch of VIN numbers and claimed that if that's one of your VIN numbers, you have a punctured battery. Who knows if that's true?
We'll be reporting on that as that develops.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to give that a lot of credit because it's just one guy. And then there was a guy who said that the Gigafactory, they had discovered there was a drug smuggling operation in the Gigafactory.
I'm not surprised by that.
And this guy was a security worker, and he busted it, and he went to the board and Musk, and he was like, should we call the FBI? And they were like, no, I don't think we should. But again, that's one
drugs
guy.
Drugs and factories is just like cake and cheese.
Yeah, that's one guy, and we can't confirm or deny.
So Elon Musk is literally Gus Fring.
And he doesn't even need the money. That's the crazy part about it. He just loves the power. He gets the rush from it. But what we can confirm is straight from the horse's mouth, this New York Times article, where a weeping Elon Musk, how do you pronounce it?
Elon, yeah.
Elon?
Elon.
I
pronounce it Elon.
Yeah, I've always said
like Teflon.
No, I don't know, but
it's Elon.
Krista corrected me last week.
Yeah, it's Elon. Krista corrected you. I don't know.
I don't watch TV. So I don't ever hear names pronounced.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's Elon.
I'll take it. I'll accept it. But anyway, Elon, in between weeping and crying about how terrible his life is, his billionaire lifestyle, he said he did not have funding secured when he made that tweet.
Ooh.
Bad news.
That's probably bad. This interview was really interesting. Also, Marques Brownlee, the tech YouTuber, also interviewed Musk, and that was another interesting interview. But in this one, it's very odd that they came out at the same time, because it was very, very contrasty. And this Musk is basically saying, look, I don't like being the dual role person, but there's nobody else that can do the job, so find me somebody that can do the job because I'm overworked, seemed to be what he was saying. But at the same time, also not willing to give up the reins unless he has a clone.
But
the important part is he made that tweet from the car. He was tweeting and driving. Yeah, that's who we're talking
about.
Well,
it's autopilot, right? I mean, that makes
I don't think legally that counts as being okay. And he made that tweet, and he said that he thought that was the best way to put it, but he hadn't actually secured the funding. The board didn't know anything about it. He admitted the board has come to him and been like, you have to stop tweeting, but he can't. He can't do it.
It's a compulsion.
There were some reports that he might have been on, he might have chosen the 420 because he was, you know, smoking out a little bit. He denies that. He does admit, I think he was on
Ambien,
yeah.
And driving?
Well,
and tweeting?
I think he had done Ambien like maybe the night before or something.
The article says that the board doesn't like him taking Ambien because it makes him the opposite of sleep.
But the point is, the stock is really suffering. The SEC is circling. That was securities fraud. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I suspect he will do some kind of plea or come up with an arrangement, he'll pay a lofty fine, but he'll pay it out of his own fortune and everything will be okay. He should go to jail. No question about it. He should.
Is it really that severe of a penalty?
Oh, yeah. He took the stock from, well, like 350 to 380, and now it's down to 305. He costs a lot of people a lot of money. And he did that single-handedly. I mean, they had a really good earnings call, but that tweet really spiked it up.
It was the tweet was also when it was falling as well. Like the stock was starting to come back down again. And so maybe he's like, oh, I'll show those short sellers.
Now, if you're thinking to yourself, that's all fine and well, but I need more Tesla drama. I need the Tesla drama to hit 11.
I'm going to subreddit for that.
I don't. This might be the first time we've ever featured the website The Cut on the Level 1 News.
Well, enter Azealia Banks. Have either of you ever heard of Azealia Banks?
No. Think she's a quote-unquote musician, like a pop singer.
Yeah.
My reading comprehension failed me on this article. I tried to get through this article 3 times, and my brain just shut down.
Let me walk you through it. This is Azealia Banks right here on the right. This is Musk's girlfriend, also a musician I've never heard of. This is Musk in the middle, in case you didn't know that. What kind of shirt is that? Is this like a reverse priest?
His girlfriend likes it on him, okay?
So apparently Azealia went to Musk's home.
I made it this far, yeah.
And she was supposed to record a musical track with his girlfriend, Grimes. But because Musk was in the turmoil of all this SEC investigation and all the hate and everything, Grimes was unable to work on that musical track because 24 hours a day she had to console Musk because he was so crushed. And if you read that New York Times article, he whines like a bitch. I mean, he is just like, woe is me the entire time. Well, Azealia Banks, unhappy about all these things, decides to drop some red pills, I suppose, at least as she sees it. She accuses him of not being on weed, not being on Ambien, but being on acid when he made the fateful tweet.
Wow.
She also accuses him of inviting her to the home under the guise of making music, but really because he wanted a threesome.
We should have saved this one for the nonsense section.
This is bizarre.
She goes on and on. And it is, we should point out that Azealia Banks is apparently famous for getting in fights with people on social media and making these outrageous claims.
Well, so is Elon Musk, to be fair.
That's true. That is true. But yeah, she talks about how she was stranded there in the house for days and no one would talk to her. Now, Musk said he's never met her. And I imagine he does have a palatial mansion. But what are the odds that someone's living in your home that you've never met?
Well, if he's crying all the time, maybe his vision was blurred.
But we won't spend too much time on this. It's a great read, though. I highly recommend.
Well, Wendell said it's not, but Ryan thinks it's great.
Oh, it's fascinating. This is a woman deconstructing in front of you.
I had an allergic reaction to the drama as I was reading it.
So good.
Well, when half the article is just Twitter posts, like, you know it's going to be solid.
Well, here's the thing about it. It's not Twitter posts. She's been banned from Twitter. That's just Instagram pictures with the equivalent of Twitter text on them.
Oh.
Way to go, Instagram.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah. Oh, there is no bottom to this story. It's fantastic.
That's part of why I struggled with it, because it was just like...
It just keeps... Yeah. She devolves into, like, accusing him of white supremacy.
What?
And yeah.
Oh. I think he probably does a lot of things. I don't know that white supremacy is something that's really on his table.
There's no proof that Musk is a white supremacist. I'll give him that for sure. Well, but the Tesla stock is tanking, and you know what else is tanking?
Cryptocurrency. Not a lot of cryptocurrency.
All of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A sense of panic grips crypto investors. Yeah, Bitcoin's below 6,000.
Why does Bloomberg have a picture of the Tesla board of directors on the Bitcoin article?
Is that a mistake? Is that some sort of issue with the website?
Has this tab been loaded so long that it got through the video?
Oh, yeah.
It might have. That's interesting. But yeah, like we talked about in last episode, this is not only affecting the crypto market, but NVIDIA's bottom line has been wounded.
Substantially. Got a lot of video cards they can't sell, but their loss is your gain. I get a nice video card for way less than 6 months ago.
Well, last week we talked about Alexa. And we love We love to talk about Alexa. But one thing that you might not have thought about when it comes to Alexa, Alexa is actually pushing music sales among the oldsters. Because they love to talk to Alexa and be like, hey, Alexa, play me this song.
That's part of the reason my mom wanted one.
Yeah, exactly.
Months ago, she was like, right. I went to a party with my friends and they had an Alexa and they just told it to play music. How cool was that? And I was like, Mom, do you really need that? And she's like, I kind of want one.
Yeah.
And then right. I talked her out of it.
They love it. And for that reason, Amazon is finding a reason to get more into the music streaming game.
See, I've had all these companies tell me that there's no money in music streaming and blah, blah, blah. But there's a lot of really huge companies that are fighting about music streaming, which makes me think it's not as unprofitable as they claim.
Yeah. Well, they've got the Prime. Do you get Prime with Alexa?
Mm-hmm.
But the Prime music is free. So. It doesn't have the kind of selection some of the others does. But, I mean, I'm sure if you're interested in older music, it's probably fine. But, yeah, they're going to focus less on rap and hip-hop, which I can confirm, Google Music is like, I don't recognize anything on that new release page. It's like, what is this? No, Google Music, I don't want to listen to Lil Keek.
What is that?
Lil Keek, why would you recommend that to me?
Because you like gangster rap, maybe?
Well, yes. I want my rap music to be about dealing drugs and shooting cops. The way it's supposed to be.
There goes our monetization.
I don't know what this new stuff is, but I don't want anything to do with it.
Well, that's what Bloomberg's talking about here in this article. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Old music, which sadly is like Tupac and Biggie.
That's 30 years ago.
I have to get an Alexa to hear NWA.
when you're in the nursing home, you know.
You know what else brings joy to my heart? Is Amazon buying movie theaters.
Well, look at this. Another Tesla. Like Bloomberg, every story revolves back to Musk.
Jeez. We try not to focus on Tesla, but it's just there's the news stories are everywhere.
The Bloomberg website is malfunctioning.
So, yeah, Landmark is apparently one of those upscale, like, dinner in a movie type places.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Amazon wants to get them. And I didn't know this. I don't think we did a story about this, but Netflix did a thing where, or maybe it was Amazon Prime. Yeah, Amazon Prime. If you were Amazon Prime, you could watch that Jumanji movie a week early in theaters.
Wow.
So they're kind of going along with that, I guess, more. And they want to get more of a physical theater presence for their Amazon Prime movies, original series, and stuff like that.
Was anyone really clamoring to see Jumanji early?
I don't know. I don't even know. I remember the original Jumanji, and I don't see
how you could top it.
I don't understand how there would be a sequel to that.
I wonder if Jeff Bezos in Lex Luthor mode, I wonder if this is some kind of maneuvering to give him access to movies that he otherwise wouldn't have access to, that he can sell virtual theater seats on Amazon. Because you could see Bezos coming up with something with movie studios to be like, you're literally, you know, renting a spot in this movie theater, but it's actually going to be telecast to your Amazon Prime set-top box.
You think those anti-piracy laws would get in the way of that? Because you know how they would like use the physical DVD and play it and then stream a camera, like, and that was made illegal.
Yeah. I'm sure Bezos has got some kind of a plan like that, but that would be pretty cool if you could get theater releases on Amazon Prime through some kind of backdoor way of this deal.
With every, like, you know, 20 minutes or so, would they bring a crying baby in and sit it down next to the microphone so that,
for that real authentic theater experience?
And then you, like, you know, they coat your floor with something sticky.
Well, I think he's looking to get into music. He's looking to get into movies because, like, Bezos is a man who must conquer, right? He's like the Genghis Khan of the corporate world. And he knows that if you stop conquering, your people get soft. You have to keep moving, keep destroying. So that's just what he does. And speaking of movies, I think for 4 or 5 weeks now, we've been talking about MoviePass. And if you went back and you did a little montage of all that, you could call it the deconstruction of MoviePass. And we're entering the end game, I think.
MoviePass is limiting selection to up to 6 films a day. which I guess it's disturbing that that was a problem for them in terms of their profitability. It's like people would watch 6 movies a day.
No, no, no. That's not what that means. What they're saying is, I think they got a picture of, so yeah, like you're going to get to choose from six films a day.
And so, if, you know, if your theater doesn't play it, you know, too bad for you.
Yeah. So to control all that rampant movie watching, every day is a different selection of movies.
Well, that seems way worse.
Yeah, that is it's way worse.
They found new ways to make the service worse.
So yeah, they're saying like big box office weekends, like a new release on Friday, forget it. You're not getting that one.
Do you think maybe they deliberately worded their press release to be confusing?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. Like when I first read this to you, I was like, what?
Yeah. So you see here, they say, here's a full lineup of movie titles available on MoviePass in the coming days. So you sort of have to plan out your movie watching. And they talk about what one of the things this is going to do is, like, if you're going to go to the discount theater that's showing a movie that's, you know, 8 weeks old or something like that, there's no way, because that's not going to be on the new list. So it's kind of like Netflix, but a really super limited Netflix where you have to get in your car and drive someplace.
Well, isn't MoviePass publicly traded? How's that stock price looking?
Mm.
Let's take a look.
Let's see. Maybe the internet will have some information about that.
Ooh. So, wow, it was $25 on July 20th? How much is it now? 3 cents.
I had a physical reaction. Like, my heart just sunk and I don't even know.
Yeah, real bad. Real bad time if you're a MoviePass investor. It's not MoviePass itself. If you're wondering, it's Helios and Matheson Analytics. They own them. I don't know if they own anything else, but certainly whatever they own is not doing well.
I've got about $8 in my pocket. We could do a hostile takeover.
What would we do with it, though?
I don't know. It'd be cool to put on a resume, hostile takeover of MoviePass.
But that you got to put up that $8, and then you got to put up like $100 million to satisfy all of the cards that have already been sold.
Yeah, that's going to end badly.
Nah, bad thing.
Speaking of things ending badly.
And speaking of movies.
Netflix will now interrupt series binges with video ads for its other series, which kind of defeats the purpose of having Netflix.
Kill it with fire immediately. Kill it with fire.
The only reason I keep my Netflix's account is because other people use it, and also because it has no ads. I'm not paying for Hulu because it has ads. I don't want ads.
Krista, that's not allowed.
You think maybe the Netflix people have forgotten why people went to Netflix in the first place? Maybe it was to escape time-wasting ads?
Now, they claim that this is for your benefit because their analytics show that a lot of people spend a lot of time browsing through the Netflix selectors. And you're not going to need to browse if they just tell you what to watch.
Of course.
So, hey, this is for you. It's not for them.
You can disable it. So if you get these, definitely go to your profile and turn it off to send the appropriate message. And for the love of God, don't click on anything.
Amazon does that. But Amazon essentially gives me that as a free service with Prime. Because I don't buy Prime for the movies. But I appreciate it. And if you want to throw some ads at me for your own crap, you know, I don't like it, but hey, it's free.
Netflix,
right?
Their only job is to deliver content to you ad-free. That's what true. I signed up for years ago.
That's very true. Well, and the theme of companies not doing too well.
I can't believe that they lost $1 billion in a quarter.
Well, they lost something like $2 billion quarter before last.
Yeah. I mean, they're hemorrhaging money. Investors have advised them to sell off their self-driving unit, which is mostly vaporware anyway. So, yeah, how is it possible that Uber had lost $1 billion?
Oh, no.
Did you close the tab? Oh, no.
No, I just showed the desktop. Oh, what's going on?
There's too many tabs.
They didn't see any of that. Don't worry, it didn't happen. Yeah, so they brought in $2.8 billion in revenue, but lost $891 million ultimately. And they reported it was this period last year they lost $1.1 billion.
So that's not as bad as last year, but still, it's just shockingly.
It seems crazy because they have it like outside of the self-driving car thing. Like Uber is a well-known utility that a lot of people use.
Yeah, well, they claim that they're doing the Bezos, you know, like lose money till you make all the money, is their strategy. Whether or not, I mean, they do have. not only competition from Lyft, isn't there another one? But all these self-driving car companies are going to start doing this as soon as they get their self-driving cars perfected.
The problem with losing money until you make money is that all of the existing cab organizations would have to go under.
Well, I think the problem is legislation. Because cabs have unions, and unions vote. And they vote exactly how their unions tell them to vote. So you could hit a hurdle there that might stop things, but I think you're sort of fighting the future. Because eventually, it's going to be self-driving cabs. That's just how it's going to be.
It's going to be Johnny Cab from Total Recall.
Yeah. Well, here's a question. Here's a hypothetical level one quandary. When does a new item stop being new?
The second it comes off the lot.
That's for a car. But how about a shrink-wrapped video game?
This is kind of a scummy game. So this guy, Bethesda, is at it again. They're an especially litigious company. They've blocked the resale of a secondhand game on Amazon because the guy listed it as new. And what happened was the guy bought the game, didn't open it, and was like, yeah, I'm never going to play this. I'm just going to sell it. And Bethesda was like, no, you can't sell that as new. That's used. And it's like, but
it's literally not used. I guess, could you do the like new category? Isn't there like... new,
yeah, you
like
can,
new,
but
used.
A lot of people won't do that. And look, is it not still new?
I mean, it is, but I mean, if you want to avoid Bethesda breathing down your neck, couldn't you just list it as like new and call it a day?
Yeah, this is a crappy thing to do.
It is a crappy thing to do.
I think Bethesda's argument is not honest. The Bethesda argument is, well, we think that this is not in the customer's best interest because people could buy games and sell them as new, even though they're used, because they have a shrink wrap machine. And it's like, Bethesda, I don't think that your lawyers are wasting your time and money chasing down people that are re-shrink wrapping games. And this Polygon asked Bethesda, it's like, well, you know, what's the recourse here? Because you don't get the same warranty or whatever people are selling these kind of things. And it's covered in Amazon. If you buy stuff from an Amazon marketplace and it's not as advertised, you return it and you get your money back. And that's a transaction between you and Amazon, not even the seller. And Amazon, more often than not, is on the side of the buyer, not the seller.
Well, think about it like this. Their argument is, we don't know what that person did before they sold you the game. But is it not completely within the realm of possibility that some Best Buy employee razor blades the thing, pulls out like an online code or something, seals it back up with a little heat gun, pops it right back on the shelf. They said, we cannot be sure. Can you ever be sure?
Yeah.
There is no guarantee.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
It seems like that there's an agenda here that is not in line with exactly what they're saying. And that is the type of dishonesty that I will not tolerate.
We also know that there's a big history of game companies and console companies wanting to get rid of the idea of used games.
Yeah.
They don't like used games. So.
No one will ever get tired of this game. Ever.
Yeah. Or and a game is something that traditionally you complete.
Yeah.
But yeah, of course game. Now it's, you know, software as a service. No. You just hang on. We're going to have so much DLC. We're going to sell that to you. Season pass. Get the season pass and you'll never get tired of the game.
You want to buy some shark card money? You should buy some shark card money.
Well, one game that you won't pay anything for, at least up front, is Fortnite. And it's taking over the universe. Fortnite is more popular than every major religion at this point. And I've done the study to support that.
No.
Not really.
Why?
Well, people on Android are going to get Fortnite, but they're going to get it in a specific way, and Google doesn't like it.
Yeah, Google Play is showing a warning to anyone searching for Fortnite. Now, the story here we've already covered in the past, that is, Fortnite is not on Google Play. You have to manually install it. And Android permits that. Android permits you to install an APK, a file, that, you know, a program, directly. But the concern here is that people are going to fraudulently make fraudulent Fortnite games on the Google Play Store, and Google's not going to catch it. So this is a Band-Aid, I think.
They're not wrong. People are definitely going to make fake Fortnite apps on the Google Play Store. No question about it. It's going to happen. But I think, now, you know what else they'll do? They'll tell you, hey, you can't get Fortnite on Android Play Store, but But then they'll show you some games under it, including PUBG.
I did think that was a nice touch. Google's just like, all right, well, you don't
want to
play
a game. You might be interested in.
Well, a lot of people are very concerned about the relationship, the coming together of Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. And it's people say these two superpowers, these two corrupt men coming together is terrible. It's going to destroy the world. But I think there's a more disturbing joining of forces.
Alexa and Cortana are getting together. Microsoft and Amazon have begun a public rollout of Alexa-Cortana integrations, and they promise more to come.
Here's a question. Do you think there'll be a deviant art category?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, I'm not. There's a whole like series of fan art for different websites.
I was thinking about this, and like, this might not actually be completely terrible, but this taken to its logical conclusion, you end up in some really interesting possible futures. So, like, for example, say that I've got a problem that I'm going to need some sort of, let's say, gray area help with. Like, I need to hire some muscle to go after somebody for a personal debt or something like that. And it's like, am I going to, you know, that is the personal assistant for that, for like, you know, a bail bondsman or something like that? Is that going to be like, you know, Eddie? And so it's like, hey, Alexa, get me in touch with Eddie. It's like, hey, Eddie, I got somebody's kneecaps who's needed that are in need of adjustment.
That would be cool if there were lots of different personalities. And although you'd get, you know, it'd be like the app store where most of them would just be giving you terrible advice, trying to steal your credit card. Now, here's my question. So the way this works is whichever one you have. So if you're on a Windows machine, then you must ask Cortana to summon Alexa. But if you're on the Echo, you must ask Alexa to summon Cortana. Now, have they defended against recursion? Could I then get Cortana to summon Alexa, who in turn, how many levels deep could I get before we ran out of memory having one summon the other one? That's what I want to try out.
Hey, Alexa, tell Cortana to tell Alexa to buy me some shoes.
So it sounds like, you know, you're a middle school girl.
Yeah. Tell that slut Cortana to return my skateboard.
I think that this is the different names and personalities are a great way to naturally compartmentalize different types of functionality. Like Alexa is who you need when you're going to buy stuff on Amazon, and Cortana is who you need when...
Yeah. Well, that's how they're selling it. It's like, you know, if you want to do some commerce, you want to listen to some music, of course you talk to Alexa. And if you want to answer some more complex questions, you talk to Cortana.
You think they know how to get a hold of Jeeves? I miss Jeeves.
Oh.
Well, what about...
Do you remember Microsoft Sam, too? And there was Microsoft Anna?
But what about Siri? What about Siri? Siri's all alone.
Well, Siri.
Siri has some learning development problems.
Isn't Siri the name of Tom Cruise's daughter? No, it's Siri, not Siri.
I'm so glad I don't know that.
I don't know why I know that.
Somebody needs to do an updated version of the browsers. Like there's an old cartoon where the different web browsers, and it's like Firefox and Chrome, and they're like, you know, schoolyard boys fighting one another, and then there's Internet Explorer who's eating glue. We need that with personal assistants.
Well, they always do that with anime girls, of course.
Well, yeah, that's what I've seen, like, with websites. There's, like, 4chan was always in a suit. Tumblr was always, like, wearing pigtails and, like, an anime girl outfit. There was, like, a whole list of different websites that were like that.
Well, speaking of infectious diseases, the Swedes love to inject things into their bodies, those things being RFID chips. And that is spreading over to the good old US of A.
Well, this was, I mean, you know, Kane has one of these for opening doors and whatever. I think he's got one in both hands. Yeah.
Well, one of them didn't win.
I think one of them malfunctioned, yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's a problem because it's like you got to take it out and put it back in. And yeah. It's a little bit annoying.
Biohacking.
Yeah.
They call this.
So these guys, Three Square Market, I think they build vending machines, actually, or something like that. So they actually integrate this into their vending machines that they sell.
And the doors and everything else.
Yeah, well, they've got all these vending machines in their own, you know, they got their own product there. So when they want to buy snacks and stuff like that. The problem with this is, okay, it's good for buying snacks, it's good for opening doors, but it's not much else. Some of them have medical stuff on there, like blood type, whatever.
Or if you're a diabetic or if you have a heart problem.
I think here's an idea that we should do. We should build a watch that scans out RFID. So when you shake hands, it collects everybody's data.
It's like a business card without already actually having it to print anything.
That would be a cool project we
that's
could do.
That's kind of weird, though. I personally would not be comfortable with that. But
they said each their own. It was a third of the company has now adopted it.
Yeah.
So some people are holding out. But
I'd be like, no thanks.
For how long? Yeah.
Do you get it wiped when you leave the company?
I think the RFID ring is the happy medium because you can just wear the ring and you don't have to worry about remembering.
Having it under your skin and then having to remove it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it still has all the security risks.
That's true. It does because there's no security with RFID. We need a more sophisticated challenge response mechanism and we're not there yet. But we're getting there.
Well, we talked about the cesspool that is Twitter and Instagram, all the Instagram thoughts.
And such a funny word.
Are they influencing your children? You know, you've got the rap music and the violence on TV and those disgusting video games, turning them into terrorists. You've thought about all these things and it keeps you up at night. But one thing you probably haven't thought about are the robots.
So I want to just put a pause on the story here for a second because it's children at risk for robot influence. And, you know, let's think about children of the 80s. It's like a low budget, poorly animated Transformers series was transformed into a multi-billion dollar industry, you know, making movies and toys and all this other kind of stuff. And so if you're telling me that as a child I could have literally had a robot companion, you know, 10 or 15 years later, will I be super nostalgic to do whatever the robot told me? Yes. Would I immediately do whatever the robot told me? Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Also, yes.
What happens when they tell you to go get mommy daddy's credit card?
Sure, sounds good.
Let's go shopping, Optimus.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, why did we need a study for this? That's immediately obvious.
Look, she's in there with a whole council room full of right. So looking at graphs.
So there's an experiment. So you see these lines on this TV here. So the question is, which of these two lines are the same length, right? But the experiment is these three robots are going to choose the wrong pair. And that peer pressure, how much does that influence the child to make the wrong choice? And it was something like 73%.
Yeah. I would say that's true even of other children, though.
That is true. That is true, yes. But they're saying that, like, that's something they do with children a lot. And I think the robots were more effective, but it depends on how well you know the other children. But for some reason, robots automatically get maximum trust.
So obviously, I don't know
how I feel about that.
Even after watching Transformers, if like Starscream or Megatron were there and they were telling me to do stuff, I probably would have gone along with it.
Wow, you're going to go for the Decepticons, huh?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Is like knowing that they're the Decepticons, even after having watched the Transformers, I probably still would have done it. And if Optimus Prime was like, you know, we need to murder everybody. Maybe.
Let's go play in traffic, young Wendell.
Yeah.
He makes some traffic. Where?
Or somebody.
Wait for that car and then jump out of the bushes.
Let's go anger the snapping turtles in the creek. That sounds like a great idea.
Play in the abandoned mine.
So be careful what kind of robot influence you allow to be around your children. Warn them. If you don't talk to your children about robots, who will?
Level one tech.
The robots will.
It feels like we're in the nonsense section, but we're not. That's exciting.
We've not even made it there yet. Well, this is, if you haven't noticed, this is the robot/AI section. And the World Economic Forum, they've got some scary things to say about
AI. The aforementioned robots are now running our financial system?
Yeah, they're going to be.
That's not good.
That looks like a human hand in the photo, though.
Well, yeah, but, you know.
That's a Decepticon.
That's Optimus that just said, go get the credit cards, child. And you're about to start buying a bunch of stuff from China. So these guys are talking about how, and we've done a lot of stories about this, when they're looking at, like, how risky is this mortgage? It's going to be AI looking at it. And if they're like, hey, we need to do a bunch of foreign exchange transactions, what's the most efficient way to do that? AI. They're really good at figuring it out. So all these bankers are getting a little worried, and they're like, oh, AIs might be a little bit scary. But they also talk about putting everything in the cloud, which we've also done some terrible stories about. That's one place that's going to get hacked, and then all the financial secrets are out. So
I think that this can go two ways, and I don't really think there's a middle ground. One of the ways is that the AI solves the problem in some clever way, but that actually results in, like, like 10% of the population is like killed or exterminated or something, and the AI is like, hey, that wasn't explicitly something you told me not to do. Yay, economic growth. And then the other sort of more utopian one is like, it becomes a black box where it's like, here are all the goals, like the stated goals. And it's like, you know, equal housing opportunity for everybody and healthcare and blah, blah, blah. And here's our budget. And somehow the AI figures out some sort of magical silver bullet solution to that problem. But then the old guard is like, well, how do we add rules to the system that nobody else knows about? Like, I enrich myself or I get these other side benefits. And that's where we run into problems.
Like every government system that's ever existed, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
at least it would be more blatant then.
I guess. Yeah, I don't think they would ever allow that to be open. And that's really the only way that it can work. So, yeah, that's some bad news about robots. But here's some good news about robots. They can deliver your groceries.
You're telling me that I can go to Kroger and not have to deal with a human being? That sounds amazing. Kroger's going to come to me.
Yeah, you don't even have to go to Kroger.
We've talked about this before. This is their little...
their little car. Yeah, we did a story about this.
Their little half-width car. But now, in New Mexico, I think... No, Arizona. Arizona's got the best rules about AI. Because it's a big desert, and the roads are all just the perfect grid. And it's no problem. But in Arizona, you can, right now, for $5.95 a month... get your Kroger delivered to your home.
That would be worth it for me.
Oh, yeah.
So for $6?
That's cheaper than Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the robot trust thing, and it's, again, here's another robot. If this thing rolled up and it's like, yeah, here's your groceries, here's your Cheerios, whatever. Let's go kill people. All right, sounds good. Sounds good, Mr.
Just
robot.
Get in the back compartment and just squeeze yourself in there.
Hey, I left a 9mm in the back for you. Why don't you shoot up the school? All right,
I'll
Kroger
drive you
bot.
Over.
Sure thing. What day you think I should do that?
I mean, I would be just as trusting as the UPS guy, in fairness. Because, like, the UPS guy comes and it's like, hey, let's go on an adventure together. Okay, sounds good, UPS guy.
Wait.
You're going to have so many people dressed as UPS men showing up at your house.
Speaking of other people that trust robots a ton, Major League Baseball players. Am I right?
This is... I'm surprised we haven't already done this. So... I guess the argument is tradition versus efficiency, because these strike zone robots are perfect. They know exactly where that ball went. And they graph it in 3D while you're watching the game.
There's not really a good argument here other than, like, my baseball has always been this way, but they moved from wood bats to aluminum bats, so.
I'm not much on baseball, but the baseball players want this, which should tell you something.
Yeah. And... in the past, there's been some argument about, like, oh, you do the instant replay, it slows down the game, and baseball is already agonizingly slow. We don't want that, but these are real time. Like, the TV systems automatically know exactly where that ball went. So, I don't know. It would put a lot of people out of work.
Yeah, that's why the baseball players want it.
Now, the umpire does make rulings that don't have to do with the strike zone. So you'd still need them for some things.
Well, like if they made a base or not, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Things like, you know, who touched the... Did the glove touch the base first or did the runner touch the base first? Like that. But they could probably come up with some robots, AIs, to do that fairly quickly. So I don't know. I don't have strong feelings about it, but I think I fall on the side of the robots.
Maybe there'll be someone in the comments who can change our mind.
I'm ready for the robot revolution when it comes to sports. And moving on to social media news, it wouldn't be a social media episode if it wasn't mostly about Facebook.
Facebook. I love this quote. It's like, media firms that don't work with us are going to end up in hospice. And it's like, whoa.
This was the...
I'm not sure that is.
This was an Australian Facebook representative. Apparently, she has a record for being a little blunt. You might call her the Krista of the Facebook team.
But I'm usually right.
Well, time will tell. So what she's telling publishers is, we're not going to be giving you the same kind of information that we did before, you know, with like the whole Cambridge Analytica stuff. You're not going to use us that way. But you better get on board, because if you don't, you're not going to survive. Because Facebook is the future.
See, here's the thing, though. As a media company that doesn't really integrate with Facebook, I think Level One's doing just fine.
Well, we could be doing that much better.
We might be doing better. Yeah, we've only just briefly experimented with that. It's not a lot of work to go to Facebook, but
We have a page set up for it. We just don't ever update it.
It's just so soul crushing.
And I could never go in and like answer questions on Facebook. That's just, although it does get you the normies, and we would like more normies, you know. So maybe we'll be, maybe we're in hospice and we don't even know it.
maybe the company's about to die.
No. Join our Patreon at patreon.com/level1.
Well, she's saying that you won't survive without Facebook because Facebook has a huge reach. And she probably backed that up with some statistics. But some people are saying the statistics might be a little bit wrong.
So
biased, perhaps.
Yeah, this comes to us from The Register. But this is something that we've reported on a couple of times. And it's basically advertisers are starting to say, wait a minute, the numbers that you're giving us for possible reach for our advertising don't make logical sense.
Yeah, the example was Chicago 13 to 24 year olds was 200% more than actual 13 to 24 year olds living in the Chicago area. So, a little weird.
All of them. Every single one. Even ones that don't live there.
Corpses.
Corpses.
Clawed their way out of the grave to check their status.
No, you don't understand. We're counting Chicago as like the 200 mile radius surrounding Chicago.
It's all of Illinois.
We're just not sure.
Well, our last story, unfortunately, is stricken by the Washington Post. Now, they have not figured out that you can just beat this by using incognito. This is a cookie. But I'll sum it up for you. Jack Dorsey of Twitter, he was the big defender. He was the last domino to fall in the Alex Jones debate. He said, Twitter is a free, open platform. Everybody should have a voice.
Except Alex Jones.
We will not be... No, he said at first, he was like, we're not going to be banning Alex Jones, right? He deserves to have a voice. And then a week went by, and then they banned Alex Jones for...
Probably because he got tweeted so much, so many death threats. Yeah. You couldn't even read them all.
I don't know if he's banned outright. He was suspended for an amount of time, and some of his tweets were deleted. But now Jack Dorsey is going on a kind of a speaking tour, and he's admitting a lot of things, and one of the things that will vindicate a lot of people, he says, yes, Twitter is a little bit left-leaning, which means like, basically, it's like they're like NASCAR cars. You know, they only make left turns.
Everybody has to go left, and some people can go more left than others.
So, yeah, he's kind of admitting, and he's talking about rethinking things about Facebook. It was a little nebulous exactly what that means.
So there's a couple other versions of this article, and one of them said that as a result of this rethinking, that Twitter has been getting rid of up to 1 million accounts a day.
Oh, yeah. So I think that's some of that is just the fake accounts and stuff like that, but also definitely some people who they just say, we're no longer doing the free speech thing on Twitter. Now you must fit in or you're gone.
What are we doing for the next episode of the news?
Next episode of news is going to be security. Lasagna.
I'm hungry.
Security, which is Chris's favorite. And
security's not terrible.
It's nonsense. Illegal. There's a lot of security this week.
There is a lot of security.
A lot of security. Not a ton of nonsense, but you know, it's quality, not quantity.
I think last week's quality nonsense.
We did have the... I don't know if we could ever peak above Bigfoot erotica.
If you missed the news last week, you've got to check out the news last week. The Patreon version of the news should be on the news playlist as well. So you can just watch it all in one go. We're trying not to be long-winded, but gosh darn it, there's just so much news.
Well, we've been really long-winded this week. I'm not helping by extending the outro right now. But
could you tell us more about that?
I have nothing else to add. I'm just noticing the time. And my dog's going to be upset with me because I'm not going to be able to feed her on time tonight.
No.